there. It's been a while. Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Sideshow Theme Show. This is our brand new show where we talk about a single theme, leitmotif, song, track, or cue we love, and of course, why we love it. I will be your host, Will. Hello. But joining me on every episode will also be a rotating cast of soundtrack experts. And for this, our very first episode, we are joined by none other than our own friendly neighborhood German guy, the host and creator of Track Swap and Fans About Films. It's the big guns, the one and only Lasse Fort.
Hello, cherished listeners. How are you doing? I am so happy to also greet you on this show as the co-host for this episode and hopefully many others to come.
We can't get enough Lasse around here, so I'm sure you're going to be on many, many episodes, my friend. How are you? It's been a while.
I am doing well. Yeah, a lot has happened in the last few years. I mean, I've been more active on this server than you guys have, but you had your good reasons. And I had my reasons to also, you know, keep releasing episodes. And now we are back with full force. And I'm very, very happy that you guys are finally able to keep us busy with amazing score analysis goodness.
First of all, thank you for supporting Sideshow like you have. And you not only stepped up, but you've been delivering a show that I absolutely personally love. Your most recent episode where you talked about Black Sails was, I think, probably my favorite episode you guys have done so far. And that might be a little bit of a prelude to what we're talking about today.
Yes, indeed. Oh, man. I was very, very happy that you chose this specific score as pretty much our pilot episode, because I think it's a wonderful place to start.
And what theme are we talking about today, my friend?
Oh, dear. Do we have a treat for you, dear listeners? Because what we're talking about today is the God of War main theme composed by Bear McCreary, also known as the Kratos theme.
Thank you. The God of War main theme, or simply God of War, as it's presented on album, is track one of the now legendary soundtrack of the same name, and was released on April 18th, 2018 by Sony Classical, though the soundtrack did see an early release on Spotify 2 days earlier on April 16th. Recorded at the legendary Air Lyndhurst Studio in England, with additional recording sessions at Angel Studios, Studio Searland, Smeki Music Studios, as well as Ocean Way Nashville, God of War was a new direction for the series, shifting the game's emphasis from Greek mythology to Norse mythology, with the majority of the story set in ancient Scandinavia in the legendary realm of Midgard. In November of 2014, McCreary met with Santa Monica Studios music producers Peter Scaturro and Keith Leary to discuss a highly confidential new project. Having previously collaborated together on SOCOM 4 US Navy SEALs, they explored ideas like folk music, mythology, Nordic instrumentation, vocal writing, and classical themes. With these clues in hand, McCreary correctly guessed that this meeting was actually for a new God of War game. Early discussions with Corey Barlog, the game's director, solidified McCreary's confidence in the project, as God of War 2, also directed by Barlog, was his favorite installment. For the first time in the series, there are two protagonists, Kratos, the former Greek god of war, and his young son Atreus. Following the death of Kratos' second wife and Atreus' mother Faye, the two embark on a journey to fulfill her request, that her ashes be spread at the highest peak of the Nine Realms. Kratos keeps his troubled past a secret from Atreus, who is unaware of his divine nature. The God of War main theme, which is what we're here to talk about, features low orchestral instruments, an Icelandic choir, deep male vocals, folk percussion, and Nordic stringed instruments like the nickel harpa and hurdy-gurdy. It is bold, relentless, and the perfect introduction to this soft reboot and eighth installment of the God of War series. And here is the composer himself talking about it.
My method into any project is really through the characters. So this game, perhaps more than any other in the franchise, it has really well-developed characters. I mean, it's really a well-written story. And that was my starting point. And just writing a piece of music that could capture the spirit of a character without even knowing like where it would go in the game, just how does this make you feel? Does this piece of music capture the spirit of Kratos? I wanted to write something that represented age, wisdom, power, masculinity. So I wrote this tune. It was like a slow march, bum, 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 bum. I didn't know how to start it. Finally, I was like, I don't know, maybe the first three notes I could do something with. So I was like, bum, bum, bum. And I just kind of stuck that on the beginning, almost as an afterthought. I sent it to Sony and Corey, and they love it. And especially the beginning. They're like, the three notes in the beginning. And I was like, what three? Oh, that thing? It is just the first three notes of the tune, just kind of on a loop. So it just feels very stern. The way that like a stern father would say to his son over and over and over again, the same thing. I think there's an element of that in the Kratos theme. The fact that I could distill down to those three notes, it meant that if he walks into a scene or he takes the upper hand, if he does anything, bum, 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 Kratos is, he's here. He's taking command, you know? Even at E3, when he steps out of the shadows.
I am hungry.
It's like Pavlovian. You just associate that with him. And it's such a simple little thing, but it's a great trick. As the game develops, I really start to mess with it. This theme that could be masculine and stern and powerful and big and brassy could also be vulnerable and emotional, and that hearing those notes triggers your memories of all the other times you've heard it. And my hope is that it guides you, along with the other three or four themes that I use as much, if not more, that it guides you through the experience of the game. A couple of our characters, we really learn some exciting things about them, to say the least. And their themes start off one way and evolve into a totally different thing. So that's why thematic writing for me is really useful. And I think more than in any other game I've ever scored, I got to really lean into threading all these different themes throughout the cinematics and throughout the gameplay. And it was a really special experience.
Lasse, what are your thoughts on this now legendary theme?
I would go so far and say that this score is one of the very best video game scores ever composed. And I didn't have a history with a game franchise, but I knew of it. In fact, I initially wouldn't have gained any knowledge about this specific score, weren't it thanks to my friend Anton Pickel, who one day, shortly after the score had come out, sent me a message to seek the score out. So I ordered it on CD and never looked back. And what's great about this main theme, also known as the Kratos theme, as I said, is that it immediately grabs your attention. It is a theme worthy of a God of War. It's bombastic, it's menacing, and just oozes old classic warrior masculinity, both in terms of its orchestration and choir work, but also how it pretty much constantly stoically marches forward. Nothing gets in our way, boy. I just love it how he always keeps calling his son boy. That's actually a big arc in the story. You look out for the moments where he actually calls him by his real name, because those are very, very special. And it's great that in the sequel game, he, you know, they're on, you know, good terms there, at least on better terms, and Atreus is a little bit older, and for the most part, he's calling him Atreus, blah, blah, blah. And there's one dramatic moment in the second game where Atreus pretty much, like, lashes out, and he does something very, very stupid and erratic, and he flees, and then Kratos is in the background and shouts, I think for the first time in the second game, he shouts, "Boy!" And that's so impactful.
It's become part of the experience to hear him scream that. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I want to point out before I say anything else about the theme, you mentioned the masculinity. There's a quote, and I'm not sure if you've ever heard this interview, but it's an interview that Bear did with another legendary video game composer, Austin Wintory, in one of my favorite podcasts. It's called The Game Maker's Notebook. It's absolutely fantastic, and Austin Wintory is the guy who usually interviews video game composers. They interview all sorts of industry people on that show. He had Bear McCreary on, and they were specifically talking about God of War. And Bear said that his favorite quote ever about his theme, I think it was either on Twitter or X, or it was on a YouTube, it was a YouTube comment, but he said, the person said, "This theme made my beard grow a beard." I'm paraphrasing it. It's been a while since I've heard it, but I think my favorite aspect of this theme is in fact the modulation, the key change. It's a featured part of the melody. It's actually a double modulation, which is even more unusual. Key changes are usually incidental. I mean, they're often utilized in a context like this as a dramatic device, like a sudden left turn. It's very rare for them to be a structural element of a main melodic line, and it adds to what, you know, sort of feels like a lift in the melody. The melody's always lifting upward. It's sort of ascending towards the heavens, but you always have this juxtaposition of that with this slow, plodding, deliberate march forward that perfectly encapsulates who Kratos is. And we'll also get more into this in a moment, but that three-note foundation, we've already kind of talked about it. It's what spawns everything in the score. It's the tree, that all the branches kind of grow on. And it's masterful. Such a gorgeous theme. And you said, I think you said it's your favorite video game. I don't know if you said score or theme of recent times, but it's definitely mine.
Yeah.
We've had an absolute gluttony of great video game music in recent years, but this one, to me, is just the king of the mountain right now. Alongside Ragnarok, which is also, I mean, might even be better than this one.
Yes, indeed. Also, there is one interesting link with the basic core three notes element of a theme. Those three notes always heavily reminded me of a theme for Barbossa's skeleton pirate crew in the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yes, it's the same three notes.
Yeah, yeah, listen to the theme in Underwater March and tell me you don't hear that similarity as well. And I'm sure it's just pure coincidence, but I just wanted to point that out.
The 1-2-3, you know, it's root, second, third. It's a very common phrase. Usually these are passing, what we'd call passing tones, going from one part of the structure to the next. So it's a very common shape in melody. And so the fact that you can trace it back to other things certainly is not a criticism of Bear McCreary. In fact, as he mentioned himself, Sony loved that more than anything else. They loved that three-note line. So, but no, that's a great link you make there. Again, I mean, I can't wait to get into how many different ways we hear that theme or that motive. Because it's kind of a fractal of the actual main theme itself. Because so much more happens beyond that three-note idea in the main theme, but he, instead of building on the rest of the melody to create different thematic material for the score, he almost always seems to base it on that three-note shape.
Yeah, and it's not all bombast. McCreary actually infused a lot of melody and emotion into the like full theme, and even if you take the choir out, the theme has a narrative, an arc. It has its menacing parts, but also it's very hopeful and even has triumphant moments.
Which I think comes down to the ascension as well, the fact that it goes up.
Yeah, and what we should of course mention is the use of the choir in this. Because if you go to Bear McCreary's website, where he writes long blogs about his work, which are very, very much worthy to read. You have the text of the God of War main theme in Old Norse and in English. The text comes from the game's writers, and the text was then translated by the Icelandic consultant of the project, Björn Thorarensson, I think I just butchered that, into Old Norse. And the great thing is that they recorded it with an Icelandic choir, so hey, they are able to, because Old Norse is very, very close to the Icelandic language, so they were able to sing it in a way that sounds appropriate. And yeah, if it's a very, very basic poem, basically, but in Old Norse, it sounds very, very cool, and it basically just tells Kratos's story.
Referring back to Norse mythology in an authentic way absolutely adds to the value of the score.
Yeah, and how it was like recorded in different parts of the world, which is amazing, as you already mentioned, where it was recorded and conducted by McCreary himself. Also the co-conductors for like the different choirs and all of that were Hördur Askelsson, Ben Perry, and Miriam Nemkova, and orchestrators were Edward Trybeck, Henry Wilkinson, and Jonathan Beard. They work a lot with Bear McCreary, and also with Henry Jackman, interestingly enough, nowadays. And additional music was provided by Jason Akers and Omer Ben-Zvi, who are part of Bear McCreary's composition house. Sparks and Shadows, that's the name. They do a lot of film music nowadays, as and also TV movies, and Bear McCreary is basically kind of like the founder and the chaperone of this group of great musicians and composers who, yeah, do a lot of stuff nowadays. And the solo vocalist was Ivar Palsdottir, who also...
I'm so glad you pronounced that. I was going to mention her. and I thought to myself, I'm gonna let Lasse say this, because I'm not going to get it right. How do you pronounce that again?
I think it's pronounced Ivar Palsdottir.
You know what it is? It's your accent just makes it sound beautiful, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I have a Swedish name, so it's close enough to...
Ah, there you go.
To the Icelandic stuff. And also my family has kind of like a route to Iceland because my parents ride Icelandic horses.
Well, I'm glad you had to pronounce it. I left her name out on purpose because I thought, I know how you like to podcast. I'm like, he'll mention her. He'll almost certainly have the pronunciation right, so
that's the thing with us Germans. We are always very, very keen on trying to pronounce everything correctly. Like that's just kind of like the German way. I don't know why, because you know we try to be proper and correct, and this is one of our ways.
Well, it's one of the reasons I'm very, very proud of my German ancestry, because I'm part German as well.
Yay!
On my mother's side, so. Awesome. Well, I guess we should move on to the next segment. And so for future reference, this will be where we discuss our favorite variations of the theme or the song or the track or the motive or whatever we're talking about in other areas of the score, or even in sequels or spin-offs or TV ads or internet, wherever it pops up again, where we find it most agreeable as a variation, we will discuss here. So, of course, Lasse, what is your favorite statement outside of the main theme?
Oh, well, I have several. So let me start with one of them. One of my favorite moments we hear at the 2 minute mark in the track on the album called Ashes. It's at the beginning of a game when Kratos' son Atreus, the boy, says farewell to his dead mother. And when Kratos enters the hut, the camera pans to him and we see him standing in the doorframe, just this dark, imposing shadow lit from behind. And that's when those three notes sung by a male chorus appear, and the result is amazing. Just this lone, menacing statement in the midst of all this beautiful emotion.
Such a beautiful moment.
That's one of the first times we hear the theme. We heard it a little bit before that in the game, but that part is not on the album.
That cue also features who, Lasse?
Ivar Palsdottir.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Yeah, one of the very first times, like you said, we hear a variation of the main theme. In the game, of course, but on soundtrack, we do hear a variation, which I'll get to in a moment.
Oh, yeah, and I also really like how the theme is weaved into the action of the track Deliverance, where the somewhat cunning and sly theme of god Baldur obviously gets its time to shine. But the track is basically a combination of all three encounters you have with him. And since Kratos fights him in all three, his theme also gets a few statements, and they work a treat. Yeah, they're basically fighting against the music of the villain, which is how you are supposed to score a sequence like this.
We'll be right back. And Deliverance has its own theme, which I think is really strong.
I love it as well because it also gives the hurdy-gurdy some great workout time.
Mm-hmm. This is the hurdy-gurdy cue, for sure, of the soundtrack.
It totally is, yeah. But possibly my favorite and most underrated moment doesn't actually appear on the album. We hear it right after the first boss fight with the first troll father and son meet after Atreus has killed the deer. And the first great statement is right when Kratos snaps the troll's neck, just his three notes appearing with powerful male choir as a brutal exclamation mark of this fight. Then, about a minute later, we hear it again, but it's very different. It's after Atreus has had his little tantrum and Kratos sees that his boy is not ready for the journey ahead. And after talking to him, he gets up and the cutscene ends. And right at that moment, the theme appears once more, but much more restrained, on deep strings and certainly with an emotional resonance. With a level of uncertainty, and it's a perfect end for the scene.
Yeah, this is, I would think, the most direct statement of the main theme in the game. I personally really, really love to hear this version branched out into an action track, because the thing that stands out to me is you get the plodding three-note line. It's moving as slowly and as deliberately as ever, but Bear is actually setting that against faster boss battle arrangements. It's a really great showcase for the instrumentation that he chose for the game itself. And it's kind of a shame that we don't get this version exactly on the album at all.
Yeah, not quite. I mean, it's a little similar to how it's presented in the God of War title track. And that's also how it's in the title track. That's also how it appears in the game the first time he uses the blades. When he gets the blades and the player gets to experience, oh yeah, I remember the blades on chains. That is basically when we hear the theme in full, kind of like how it is presented in the title track.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not how the theme is arranged here. That doesn't appear in the album. But I think we hear it kind of similarly at certain points in the game.
I'm so glad you brought this one to the table, because it would be a shame to not mention it, honestly.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And as a little bonus, I have a very interesting variation of a Kratos three-note motif, which appears in the so-called Arrow trailer, a cinematic they animated for TV, and it shows the basic concept of a game, father and son on a dangerous journey, so on and so forth. And there's a part when Atreus gets tackled by a wolf and falls down, a knife gets thrown in front of him, and Kratos makes that, like, come on, get up, try again, gesture with his hand. And the ascending choir variation here gives me chills every time. It sounds encouraging and hopeful in a way the theme often doesn't. Just listen. This was specifically composed for this commercial, and I wish there was a clean version of this music track, because it's so good.
Maybe on future releases, you know, we can get stuff like that.
Yeah, one can only hope. I mean, it must be, you know, flying around somewhere on some hard drive.
I'm sure Bear's got it in his archive somewhere, yeah. I'm chomping at the bit to talk about Memories of Mother.
Yes.
By far, my favorite variation of the theme, because of how the actual melodic line of Memories of Mother is constructed, actually. It's so interesting. There's a four-note line that we have that starts this theme, this Memories of Mother theme, that actually precedes the Kratos motive. And it juxtaposes beautifully as almost a mirror image, almost highlighting powerful feminine against powerful masculine, because of how opposite both lines are shaped, though they are combined to create a new standalone thing, a standalone melody. They're almost actually direct inversions of one another. Mm-hmm. And I have no clue if this is on purpose. But again, since it is Bear McCreary we're talking about, it would not surprise me at all if he did this on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's not forget, in the second game, he presents a new theme for Atreus. And that theme is just the Kratos three notes played backwards. So
yeah.
He absolutely does the stuff intentionally all the time.
And that's interesting you bring that up, because if he is playing those three notes backwards, that is almost a direct quote of this. Which, again, that's his mother that we're talking about. So So musically, yeah, this is the same guy who composed a theme that you could play forwards and backwards for Da Vinci's Demons. That was very, very much on purpose. I mean, he's as clever as anyone.
Oh.
It almost certainly has to be on purpose. But again, it highlights the fact that it's the fractal of the main theme that really gets the most variation in the score. Not just variation, but it's used as a basis or an important element to the themes of other characters like Faye. Such a beautiful theme. And again, that modulation, that huge statement of Memories of Mother in the middle of this track just gives me goosebumps.
The Kratos material, it's very subtle within this track. You kind of have to listen out for it, and that's what I find so interesting about your choice.
It's not even at the start of the melody. It's literally the answering line to the four notes that begins the melody, which itself is an inversion of the three-note motive. So again, it's just so interesting.
Yeah.
And one other track I did want to mention, it doesn't have a direct quote of that fractal, that three-note fractal, but it does have the shape of it sneaking in and out, and that's Lullaby of the Giants, which I think is actually my favorite track from this score.
Yeah.
my god. It sounds like basically giant monks singing.
Like a Catholic church.
Yeah, yeah. It is something sacred about it. And also how you can kind of like hear it. Like it sounds like they're singing it in a big hall or like a cave or something. And it's so impressive. And I love that melody so much. And they also get a good usage out of that theme all throughout the game. And also in the second game, it has some great statements. Like in the second game, it appears when the world serpent first appears in the second game, and that is a wonderful statement. But yeah, it's I love this track as well, and it's just so well constructed. It's so greatly woven in and out of the music. I love it when a soundtrack and an album are so rewarding that they keep surprising you with when you listen to it multiple times. Those are the best soundtracks to me, when you listen to something and you've been listening to it for years and you find something new.
We've mainly kind of stuck to the first five tracks of this release. Getting ready for this episode, I kept replaying, not because I wanted to do extra research, but just because I wanted to listen to Ashes again, or Memories of Mother again, or Lullaby of the Giants again. Like, they're so good. And you just want to keep replaying them over and over again, which is, of course, I mean, and this is outside of the game. You know, you take this and you take his Rings of Power score, and it's like, we might be witnessing peak McCreary right now.
Yeah, they're very much related. I just started watching Outlander. There you can definitely, and that was the first time I listened to the music proper, even though I have all the Outlander scores, which are out so far on CD, just to kind of like expand on my McCreary CD collection. And that was the first time I really like properly listened to the music. And you can certainly hear things which would inspire him later, in terms of, this kind of sounds like a prelude to a certain theme or like an instrumental idea of what he would do in Rings of Power. It's very, very interesting.
I've heard great things about Outlander, actually, and really want to check that out.
Yeah, I mean, if you are in any way like a fan of like Scottish folk music, oh my god, like the first season score of Outlander is going to be like a wet dream.
Well, we have gushed a lot about God of War. Just so you know, if you do want to hear us do an entire score guide to this game and score are so loved here at Sideshow, obviously, that you're probably going to get one at some point anyway. But if you do want us to do a score guide on it, just let us know, because we could dive into this over and over again, and probably will. So, Lassa, do you have any closing thoughts on Bear McCreary's God of War theme?
I already set my high praise that I think it's one of the best video game scores of all time, maybe even the best. And what more can you say? It is wonderful. And if any of you out there who are listening haven't listened to this yet, then please do so. I think the tracks we mentioned and played for you very much speak for themselves.
I came to this score much later than everyone else. I came to it about 4 years ago. So we're talking about 2 years after it came out. Because I've been an Xbox guy for a few years. I've always been a PlayStation guy, but in the last couple of generations, I've been Xbox, which is the only reason I didn't play it immediately. I've recently bought my wife a PS5. We're both gamers, so I will be playing this very soon. But Anyway, that was why I didn't hear it immediately. But I did, once I discovered the score itself, I, of course, watched every cinematic and every playthrough I could and really got into it. I say all of that to segue into this very specific point. My wife is also quite musical and is really adept at finding elements of music. And as soon as I discovered the main theme for God of War, I called her over, took my headphones off, put what I was listening to on speakers. I was like, babe, just listen to this. I just wanted to see her reaction. I looked at her face and her eyebrows went up and she did this look like, oh my God, you know, and it just floored her without any context. She had no idea what she was listening to other than I asked her to listen to something. For all she knew, it could have been something I was working on just because I didn't tell her what it was. And her reaction, her genuine, I just wanted to see if her reaction was what mine was. And it was. It was just that sort of thing you can't put into words, you know, that sort of emotion that great writing gives you, great music, great orchestration, great presentation gives you. And that's the highest praise I can give this theme, is that you said you think it might be the greatest video game soundtrack of all time. I don't know that I'm ready to say that, but I'm certainly not ready to argue you on that either. So, it might be. It might be, Lassa. We're going to be listening to this in 20 years and still praising it.
Absolutely. I mean, as you can with lots of great timeless music, and some a lot of music that has come before this, and a lot of music that has come and will come after this. But yeah, this is one of those wonderful timeless scores which will put a smile and tears on people's faces, no matter, you know, where they live, what their backgrounds are, if they even have played the game, if they know about the characters, the story. Doesn't matter. The music tells the story.
Lasso, my friend, it has been an absolute joy and an honor to have you join me for the very first episode of the Sideshow Theme Show. Where can everybody find you online, good sir?
Oh dear, you can find me everywhere. My own podcast is called Fans About Films, where I talk with fans about films, go figure, but also about TV and scores, and I do some cool interviews there as well. I have German and a lot of English episodes. You will see which is which. I also co-host It's 90s Christmas podcast with Lyle Perez. You can find that podcast everywhere. Currently on a break, but we will be back soon, I hope. I am part of the German podcast network Telestammtisch, where we talk about the newest releases in terms of TV and movies. And I write German score reviews for scoregeek.wordpress.com. And you, if you want to be on one of my shows, just write to me at Lasse Vogt on Facebook or Twitter. I would be delighted to have you on, as long as you want to talk about film music, and as long as it's not Star Wars music.
We've talked about that a lot on this network, and I mean, too.
Absolutely, and what I forgot to mention is, of course, I have my own show on this very network, which is called TrackSwap, but you should already know about this.
Yeah, but it bears repeating. It does bear repeating.
Indeed.
That wasn't meant to be some sort of allusion to Bear McCreary, but yeah, anyway. you can find me on X. It's so weird to say that. I still want to say Twitter. My handle is...
Just say Twitter, just to spite the person who owns it now.
You can find me on Twitter. It'll always be Twitter to me, and to Lasse as well. My handle is @will_Dodson1, and to find everything we at Sideshow have done, are doing, will do in the future, please make your way over to SideshowSoundTheater.com, spelled the British way, R-E, at the end. And there you can find our previous shows, as well as every single album Wendell and I have released under the writing pseudonym Sideshow Sound Theater, again spelled British way, R-E at the end. You can also find us on Twitter, @SideshowSound, as well as on Facebook, where we can be found, Sideshow Sound Theater, again spelled the British way, R-E at the end. Also, there are, we've actually gotten messages about this, there are many older shows that no longer appear anywhere at the moment, but we are currently working on a plan to make each and every episode that has ever been released on this network available online, even dating back 10 years ago when we launched everything. So definitely keep an eye on our socials. We are working on that right now. We have a solid plan, and all will be revealed shortly. For those who missed like the early days score guides or the original shows with Xander and Jesse, or some of our older score guides that have kind of disappeared, or you know, even Mouse Music and In Defense Of, all that stuff will be available soonish, I would say. We'll make that known as soon as we have everything kind of ironed out. In the meantime, thanks so much for joining us for the very first episode of our new show, Sideshow Theme Show. And be sure to meet us back here next week for episode 2. In the meantime, I've been Will.
Yes, I've been Lasse.
And we have been the Sideshow Theme Show. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Auf Wiedersehen or gute Nacht.
If you have enjoyed this Sideshow Sound Radio podcast, why not share it with your friends? Share and enjoy.
I'm amazing.